Well, good morning, everyone. Gosh, it is good to see you here this morning. Last week, we talked about the Vision 2020 for Briarcliff and what that might look like. We started with Isaiah because he's speaking here to people that are in bondage in Babylon, and they've been there for 70 years. Now, God gives them the vision of going back home. And now he's talking to them about getting ready. And if you'll notice in the passages throughout Isaiah, he says, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. One thing I found very interesting about vision, if it is a God-sized vision, it creates a bit of fear. Over and over, I've experienced that. And to the point that I think every God-sized vision will put me on the edge of an element of fear. For example, there's biblical examples of this. Abraham. God called Abraham to leave his home country and go to a land which he did not know. He'd never been there. And he wasn't even sure where God was leading him. It was a tremendous vision. I am going to bless you so that your generation to come will be as plentiful as the stars in the sky. Well, I would say that is beyond him, wouldn't you? And then he says, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Moses. When Moses began to lead the people out and they faced that Red Sea and going to look in that promised land, and he looked at those people and they were scared to death, and he said, do not fear. Do not fear. There was a God-sized vision there, and it brought fear into their life. Well, what about David, King David? When he came to the point to bring Solomon, that Solomon would then, his son, take and build this temple. And it was a mammoth job to build this temple. And David said, do not fear. Do not fear. Said the same thing to Joshua. Joshua, when he was finally ready to lead those people over in the promised land, Joshua stood up to the people, and this is Joshua chapter 1, over and over. It says, be courageous and do not fear. Do not fear. Remember when the angel came to Mary and said, God has looked upon you as favor, and you're going to have a child. A little bit about this child, that he'll be the Savior. Told Joseph the same thing, and you'll call him Jesus because he will save the people of their sins. They were petrified, and the angel said, do not fear. Over and over and over, a God-sized vision, I think, comes with an element of fear. And every time that I try to embark upon anything that I'm leading in, for example, the first time that I went through a mammoth building program, I was scared to death. The amount of money and the blueprints they brought in, the stats on that thing was thick as a big catalog. And I thought, I am in over my head. I'm in over my head. There's no way I can do this. I cannot see this. It's a stretch. And I had fear. I had fear. In fact, when I came to Briarcliff, I had fear. I don't know if this is going to work or not. I'm not sure this is going to work. So every God-sized vision always has an element of fear. So he was telling these people in Babylon now that they're ready to go home after 70 years of being there captured by the Babylonians. He says, now get ready. So the thing that we're going to focus on this morning is that if a God-sized vision is there, you don't just float into it. You got to get ready for it. So I think with 2020, what would God say to us in getting ready for this year to be the greatest year that God has blessed us with? I want to give you five things from this short passage that we looked at this morning in Isaiah chapter 54. First one is this: prepare for the next generation. Now look at this scripture. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's going on here. In verse 1, it says, saying, O barren or childless one, who did not bear or break forth in singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. The message paraphrased this way: fill the air with song. You have never experienced childbirth. you'll end up with far more children than all the childbearing women. Now, ladies, I know that probably doesn't excite you too much, but let me tell you kind of what is going on here in this verse. There was nothing more shameful for a woman in that culture to not be able to have a child. In fact, a family, they'd do anything possible to have children. It was a shameful thing. So what Isaiah is saying to these people is, your being over here in Babylon is a shameful thing on our nation. I didn't call you to be this way. This is a shame. But get ready. I'm going to bless you with more children than you can count. The next generation, the generations to come, I'm going to bless you. Now, when I read that this week and I was studying on that, I thought, oh, that sounds like for us at Briarcliff. Get ready, the next generation. The future of any church is that next generation. In other words, it's preschool through high school. Now, I think if you're like me, you get extremely excited when you hear about some of the planning that's going on. Every summer, our staff begins to take a look at what we've been doing and how well it has gone. And then by the fall time in October, we're putting together the plans for the following year. And that is shared in the group, and we work on that for some time. And then later on in the year, then we begin to look at, see, budget-wise, what's that going to cost? How many leaders is it going to take? What kind of space is it going to take? And begin to put all that together. I'd like for just to open up a bit here of the plans that is being put together for this coming year. And I think you'll be extremely excited. So we're going to start right now with a vision for Briarcliff Kids, which starts with preschool, because a lot of planning is going on here, and it's more than just going through the routines. It is an extremely exciting thing what they're doing. For example, in the preschool, when we started in this building, what, 2-3 years ago, something like that, we had preschool workers go back there and sit in a room and no one show up. They didn't have anybody. We had the workers, we got ready, but no one showed up. But guess what? You go back there on any Sunday now and see in the preschool, it is growing like crazy of the number of people. And not only that, but here's the most exciting part, is to see the workers in there, the volunteers in there, the passion that they have. And their agenda is not just to keep a child in preschool. It is to love and take care of them, and also the plans that will be rolling out this year is to help parents know how to raise that child to become a follower of Jesus. So it's more in that they have a great ambition to do more than just babysit. No, don't ever use that word. Don't ever use that word. It's not about that. It's about really raising up this next generation of parents and children. Now let's look in the on down to elementary, which is called Briarcliff Kids. And I cannot begin to tell you the excitement that we've seen develop in there. First of all, just the workers. We have one of the best teams of workers you'll find anywhere, teaching and abilities and capabilities and the passion that they have. And they're planning every week and there's training going on. And so they have training meetings with them and they do an incredible, incredible job. But number one, mark it down, getting ready. Number one, their ambition this year is to give a personal touch. Now, how big a deal is that? It's a big deal. Because what they're going to be trying to do is, and I don't know if any church is ever doing this, they're going to try to meet with every family possible and just get better acquainted with the family so that they can give a greater personal touch. It's not just coming and going through a lesson. They want to keep a personal touch there so that in the years to come, those kids will always remember, not necessarily the lesson, but they'll remember that personal touch that was given to them. That is what your workers, many times you do not see what's going on because you're in here and do not see what is going on there, the activity and the training and the preparation that they make every single week. So they're wanting to help parents raise that child to know Jesus and to follow him as a disciple. And so we say partnering with parents to make disciples. They're trained in that, and they go through that training over and over and over again. And there are many ways to serve there. Some of it is serving in the small group. Some of it is telling a story. Some of it is doing music. Some of it is doing decor, artwork, on and on and on. There's all kinds of abilities and talents that are used in there every week. The other thing is the curriculum that we use is rock solid in biblical teaching. And we have adults. Actually, if you want to learn more about the Bible, go to the children's ministry and begin serving there. We have people that say they serve in there and say, I've learned more about serving here than I've ever learned. And I'm wondering, did they ever go to the sermons that we preach? Anyway, I didn't even think about that, really. But they learn a lot. You will learn a lot if you so inclined that God might want you in there. It is incredible. The way that they teach and the way that the kids will get that and really go with it. Then you already have seen Eagle Lake Clamp, camp that'll be coming on this summer. We've never had anything like this. The high level of that camp, not only will it be an unforgettable experience for every child, but for the older kids, it will give them some training on leadership and then how they can not only learn in there, but how the older ones can actually begin to learn how to lead in there. Incredible of what we'll be able to do in there. And so I'm hoping this is just the first year of many more years to come of us being able to do that kind of camp here. Now, the next one that is the ambition to do, and this makes my palms of my hand sweat. Because I think, oh gosh, how can we ever do this? But we will. And that is to begin a special needs ministry to kids. Did you know that we have a lot of families that do not come to church, that want to come to church, that even told us we'd like to come, but we can't? Because we have a special needs child. And I think, what a shame that we have people with a child that is very precious and they stay home today because there's not a ministry. And here's what I want you to see. We have some people already in the children's ministry that is very, very knowledgeable and capable. And I would not want, if he happens to be in here, to embarrass him, but we have people working in there with a PhD degree in working with children of that nature. What a blessing. Now, how are we going to do it? I'm not sure. But I'm trusting them they'll do it. And they're going to take it on. I don't know when this year. But that will excite you to the very core of your being. And then with students, we've got a groundwork laid for students that is incredible, I think. And we have a number of students that have gone over from the kids ministry and now over into the student ministry. And we're going to be expanding that. And I'm extremely excited. I think this year will be the greatest year we've ever experienced in that. And then on Wednesday night with Awana, they're also going to give that personal touch. And they have a great team of workers. You ought to see them come on Wednesday night. And the kids that they work with. And we're going to see that expanding also. So you begin to see a little bit of the flavor of what is coming up in this next year of getting ready. It's not going to happen without us getting ready. And I want you to know the leadership that you have here at this church is getting ready for that. And it's going to be a tremendous year. So number one is get ready. Prepare for the next generation. Number two is make room for more. Now, what does that mean? It says here in verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent. In other words, he's saying to these people in Babylon, the Israelites are going to go back home, get ready. Because it's going to be an enlarged experience for you. you'll have all of these kids that you and all this generation to come that you've never had before. And so what does that mean for us? Does that mean that we enlarge the building? Does it mean we add more square footage? No, I'm thinking there's something much more important to enlarge than that right now. Here's what needs to be enlarged first. Are you taking notes? The first thing before we're ever able to move beyond where we are is we'll have to enlarge our heart. Enlarge our heart first. And in what way? What does that mean to enlarge our heart? Enlarge our heart for God. Do you think you know everything there is to know about God? Would you be open to seeing your heart enlarged? J.B. Phillips wrote a book one time. The title of it is, Your God is Too Small. The essence of the book is that the God you have in mind was the same God that you had in mind when you were in elementary school, and it's never grown beyond that. Would you allow God? There's no use for us to look. We're not going to be expanding any kind of building or anything until, first of all, and we enlarge our heart for God. Secondly, not only to enlarge our heart for God, but enlarge our heart for God's Word. In other words, taking the Bible and reading it every day, and then ask some questions like, so what? So what does that mean? So what do I do about it? So how do I apply that to my life? So what? So what? So what? Let me give you a book that if you want to be stretched and enlarged in your reading, you got a pencil? You ready to write it down? I dare you to read it. How's that going? I dare you to read it. I warn you in advance, it's a difficult read. It'll take you a lot of time, and you have to read and reread. It's a book on how to interpret the Scriptures, looking at the culture in which they were written, and how do you speak to you? How does it speak to you today? And here's the book. You got your pens ready? And write it down, and if the person next to you is not writing it down, then hand your notes to them so they'll have it. It's written by Gordon Fee, F-E-E. And it said, reading the Bible for all it's worth. Now, if you want to be stretched, enlarging your heart for God's Word, start here. It'll get you out of the elementary things. It'll get you out of the routine of just reading God's Word. It will put a whole new dimension in your heart for God's Word. So enlarge your heart for God, enlarge your heart for God's Word, and enlarge your heart for your community. That some way, and I struggle with this because I drive to church here every day, and I drive by a lot of places, and I think, God, I need your help to enlarge my heart for many, 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 many people I've just driven by. They'll probably come to church if some way we could just have a heart to reach out to them. Another one we'll talk a little bit more about later in the message is enlarge our heart for serving. Enlarge your heart for serving. You'll never grow without enlarging your heart for serving. And then one other thing that is imperative, absolutely imperative, is enlarge our heart for prayer. A church will never go beyond the heart for prayer. Do you think you could learn more about prayer? Do you think you could pray at a greater dimension? Could that become more powerful and more meaningful in your life? You see, those are the kinds of things that we've got to stretch and we've got to prepare for. If we want to see a vision come about, it doesn't just happen. You don't float into a vision. You don't just some way cruise into it. Seeing a vision come about is like blazing a trail into territories you've never been before. And when that is there, sometimes there's an element of fear because you do not know where that next step will lead you. And to grow here, make room for more, then of course we need to make room for more yet to come. Most of you have started coming to Briarcliff in the last 5 years. Because some people are already in our church getting ready for more. In the next 5 years, could we have twice as many as we have now? Sure. Because we make room in our hearts for them. We make room of space here. But I'm not concerned about the space as much as I am the heart. Of having a heart that makes room for more. I think, and I don't know how soon, but I think the building over here where our children's ministry is, I think that will become a total children's ministry building. I still don't know where my office is going to be. I don't think it's going to be in there. And that's what's going to happen. And how do we do all of that? I'm not sure. I think somewhere down the road, we'll have to have a Saturday evening service. Now look at making room for more, making room for more, making room for those. There's a lot of ways to make room for more. But first of all, we have to make room in our hearts. And now we get positioned to make room for more. Number three. What was number one? Prepare for the next generation. Number two is make room for more. Now, number three is plan to reach out beyond the walls of Briarcliff. Now, let's look again at verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Okay. Now, let the curtain of your habitation be stretched out. He's talking about a tent. So let the tent walls stretch out so that you're able to take care of those yet to come. So there's a stretching here. Stretch out, stretch out, stretch out. Stretch out to those yet to come. How do you need to stretch? How do you need to stretch in the days ahead? Stretch in your influence. How will we stretch out? By the way, you'll never grow and you'll never be what God wants you to be in this coming year without doing some stretching. Outreach. We'll continue to do some things in outreach. For example, we will continue to do Fall Fest. We're always wanting to refresh that and do it in even a greater way. We'll do coming up not too long as Easter, and we'll be doing the Easter egg event, and we'll stretch out and doing that to even a greater extent than we've been doing before. We'll continue to refresh those. Halloween is on the calendar, and kids get excited about that. And we have the Fall Fest. But last year we did an experiment, and we're probably going to expand that quite a bit more. Is that on Halloween, we will take that to the neighborhoods. And maybe your neighborhood, maybe you could have a neighborhood thing that you could set up a little tent out there and hot chocolate and a place for them to get warm and give out all kinds of candy. And they think, well, I don't need to go any farther. I've hit a gold mine right here. I get hot chocolate and I get more candy and I get warmed up. And you could do that in your neighborhood. Think about that, how we could stretch out and then we give them materials about our church there. So those are the kind of things that we're wanting to see as we stretch out. We'll continue to do a mass mailing, and that goes to thousands of homes. One way that we do outreach, and this is a very interesting one, I never thought about this years ago. Do you know many, many people come to our church the first time? You know how they find us? The web. That's the reason why we invest a lot of time and money in the website. And by the way, that's going to be renewed. You have to keep renewing that thing. And so that is going to be renewed in this year to be even more effective. I don't know how many people I ask, how'd you know about a church? Well, I just went to the web and started looking. It's amazing. So we'll do a direct mail. We'll continue to do the website. But then we're looking at doing a billboard coming out from downtown. You cross the Bond Bridge and coming out this way. And a billboard. What we're trying to create is if anyone ever thinks church, they'll think Briarcliff. Anyone that ever thinks church, they're not thinking about that right now. But many times they come to something in their life, I think I need God. I wonder where I'd find it. I think maybe Briarcliff, because I've seen what they do. And we want to create that so that if anybody ever thinks church, they'll think Briarcliff. We're going to continue to do that, but the maximum of what this will happen is that you will have a heart for those that are yet to come. So we'll have to stretch. Every one of us will have to stretch to get that done. So what was the first one? Getting prepared. Prepare for the next generation. And secondly, make room. First of all, in our hearts. And number three, plan to go beyond the walls of this church. And number four is have an attitude of no holding back. This is incredibly important. Look in verse 2 again. Enlarge the place of the tent. Let the curtain of your habitation be stretched out. And do not hold back. Why does he say that? Because that's the nature of us. We go a little ways up the trail and we find a little comfortable place and we hold back. We don't go any farther. Research shows that most people that come to know faith in Jesus Christ come to a certain place that they level off. By the way, that's true for churches too. Church research has shown that most churches level off and become ineffective after 15 years. That's shortened now. And now they're just going through the routines. They're not making any kind of impact. A church has a shelf life unless you renew it. Your walk with Christ has a shelf life of effectiveness unless you do something. And you cannot sell back. You cannot hold back. You have to keep on going. It's blazing a new trail over and over and over, blazing a true new trail. What new trail do you need to blaze? How is God wanting you to get outside of your comfort zone and tread up a path you've never been before? Where is that? I found that if I do not take that step, that's primarily the reason why I came to Briarcliff. Because I needed to blaze a new trail. I needed something that would cause my palms of my hands to sweat. I needed something that would push me beyond a comfort zone and not just fall into spiritual comatose. And that's where very easy to do. And number four is that you have to have an attitude of no holding back. In other words, whatever it takes, whatever it takes, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. And you take that challenge. I don't know what that challenge will be for you, but I'm quite confident that God will have a challenge some way for you to stretch you beyond where you are right now. And then what is that? Number five. Strengthen who we are. Strengthen who you are as a church, who we are. Look at what he says here. Enlarge the place of your tent. Okay, that's the first thing. Second, let down the curtain of their habitation and stretch out. Okay. Do not hold back. Do not hold back. Do whatever it takes. And then lengthen your cord and strengthen the stake. You understand a tent. If the tent is going to get larger, it's going to have stronger ropes to hold it. And you better have stronger stakes in the ground. The ropes and the stakes will not work when God begins to bless with an enlargement going on. So how do you do that? Can I give you a verse? Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Just write it down. It's my life verse. I review that every Tuesday morning. You know what it says? Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I've already obtained all of this or already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Jesus took hold of me for a reason. I've got the rest of my life to press on, to press. This word press is high intensity pressing. It comes from a sport of a track runner running for all he's worth and getting down toward the end of the line, he doesn't sit down and take a break. He presses. He presses. Let me say that verse again. Not that I've already obtained all this. God's not done with you. Never, ever talk about how old you are. Never, ever talk about how young you are. Never, ever talk about how busy you are. You're as busy as you want to be doing what you want to do. Always. So, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He took hold of you by his grace and mercy to save you. For just heaven? Then why wait around? He took hold of you and you press on. I do not want to face Jesus and him say, why did you go to Table Rock and spend the rest of your life doing nothing? I want to give it all I've got the rest of my life. Psalms 146. Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I was saying praises all of my life. I was saying praises with my dying breath. You see, we never finish. And so what we need to make sure we're not doing is falling into a routine that's not pressing, 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 pressing ahead. He says here, lengthen your cord and strengthen the stake. Stretch out. In other words, this lengthening is stretching, stretching, stretching. Stretch your Bible reading. Stretch it out and reading. What's the name of that book? What's the name of that book? Say it again. What was that? One more time. And I promise I'll do it. I challenge. If you want to grow, if you want to stretch, if you want to stretch. And by the way, for some of you, let me tell you, a stretch. It's starting going in a small group. That'll be a stretch. Maybe you tried it and said, eh. Sometimes you have to try and try and try again. But I want to talk to you that are in a small group and leaders of a small group. Are you providing a stretching experience for those people in there? The next time that you meet as a small group, talk about that. Are we stretching or vegetating? Are we stretching beyond where we're? I have two discipleship groups. And one of the ambitions I have there is I want those to stretch me, which they do. And I want to stretch them. That's part of the reason why that we meet. So we're always working on moving them farther and farther and farther. If I can stretch them some way or another. Because I think that there's a reason that God took hold of them, and I want them to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of them. Stretch, stretch, and let that group. Now, your small group is supposed to give comfort and fellowship and a good time, but if that's all there is, you have to stretch. I was looking at that this week, and I thought, okay, how's a tent become stronger? One peg at a time. One stake at a time. He says here, strengthen your stake. How do you do that? It's exercise. You have to some way exercise the abilities that God has given you. I had rheumatic fever when I was in high school. I was a senior in high school. Didn't graduate. You could tell that by the way I talk. And graduation, I couldn't go. I was confined to the bed all summer long. Could not get out. The end of the summer, it looked like the doctors thought I could start getting out. And I still remember, it's a very strange thing. I got out of that bed. I could not walk. I'd have help because I had not exercised my walking ability all summer long. So to stretch, see, unless you roll up your sleeves and serve, there's a way for you to serve. Serve in some way. Let me tell you a little bit about volunteers here. And I don't know how you might volunteer, but I want to just give you a sampling of what's going on. One thing is we see people in the preschool and the children and the students and adults and all that, all kinds of ministries we have people serving in. But in addition to that, I don't know if you know it, but we have a team of 10 people that clean this building every single week. And I mean they do a good job. Every single week. We'll even have some to say, I want to do more. Incredible, the spirit in which they serve as volunteers. And then the set up and take down. Every week, there's has to chairs go up, some has to come down. Next week, some to come up and some to come down. And we have people, they just set things up and take it down. Set things up and take it down. They'll probably be rewarded more than anyone else here that do those kind of work around here. See those pockets right in front of you? We have people that come in every week to straighten up those pockets and make sure they have everything they need in them. Now, if that pocket in front of you is not perfectly straight, it's not their fault. It's that 9 o'clock group that messed it all up, so you blame them. And when they come through the week, it's usually not warm in here, it's cold. We keep it that way so they'll work fast and efficiently, you know. But they do, and they come and they do it joyfully. They do it joyfully every week. Did you notice the parking lot this morning? And we have volunteers that started yesterday. Not only that, but they use their own equipment. Come rain, come shine. Come snow, come sleet, come ice. They're out there. And they're doing that job. And they're thrilled that they can volunteer to do that. We have construction work that's going on around here all the time. Very efficient, very capable people doing that. Electrical work, plumbing work, carpenter work, on and on and on the list goes. We have people that in every part of our ministry, we would not survive without volunteers of the good spirit and saying, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. That's the reason why we keep trying and encouraging you to go discover your design. You can decide not to serve anywhere. And this church will do fine. But you won't. Because you will lack the exercise that must accompany strength. And you'll not experience that. I want you to look on the screen here at a Bible verse and see if you understand what it's saying. What are the first two words? Each one. Each one. Now, a little math here. If we use each one, how many is left out? Zero. So that means everyone. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. God gave you spiritual gifts. Faithfully administering those of God's grace in various ways. Each one. Why do we want that? Because I'm convinced and know that is a vital part of growing is exercising. But look at this last verse and don't forget it. Because you'll find this over and over and over. And this going back to Isaiah chapter 54. Fear not. Fear not. Would you be willing to jump in over your head? Stretched. Blaze a new trail. And not just vegetate. Reading the Bible for all it's worth. Begin to serve and not know quite, I don't know how I'm going to do that. I'm not sure how to do that. I'm so convinced that's a vital part of our life. So are you ready to do that? Are you ready? Are we ready? Well, thank you very much. Are we ready?
Yes.
Are we ready?
Yes.
What did I hear? Are we ready?
Yes.
Let's pray together. Father, you have wonderful, wonderful things in store for us, not because of us. We don't earn or deserve anything. But for some reason, out of your grace and mercy, you reach down to take hold of us. Now we must take hold of that for which you took hold of us. Oh God, let us have a heart that stretches and becomes more like you in loving you and knowing more about you. I've got so much yet to grow in my life. I want to spend every day blazing that new trail.